Hi everyone! Today we will talk about dictionary comprehension, which is a very fast and simple technique to construct dictionaries out of lists, tuples, or any other collection of data, including dictionaries. So, whether you're into data science or computer science in general, what I'm about to show you will change your life forever. So in this tutorial, we will focus on three main use cases of dictionary comprehension. 1. Create dictionaries from different collections of data. 2. Modify dictionaries in place. And 3. Create complex data structures very quickly. Now, if you're new to this channel, welcome to Python Simplified. My name is Maria, and let's start with a very basic code example. So let's say we have two lists. One of them stores names and the other professions. Now, traditionally, if we'd like to combine them into a dictionary, we will first need to create an empty one with a set of curly brackets. Then we will choose from several approaches of for loops. One of them is using the zip function, which basically pairs both lists together and as a result stores each of the names as a key and each of the professions as a value, where key and value are iteration variables, so we can name them as we choose. Then, in the body of the for loop, we will first create a brand new dictionary key, which represents each of our names, one at a time. We will then, lastly, assign it to a value, which represents each of our professions, one at a time. An alternative approach is to iterate over the total length of the list using a range function. And you can find out much more about it in my for loops tutorial. I explain it in great detail. So with range, we're not really iterating over the list items themselves, but we are still pairing items of the same index or of the same order in the list. So Maria and Programmer at index 0, and Gandalf and Wizard at index 1. But how can we do the same with dictionary comprehension? Well, in the case of the zip approach, we will start with a set of curly brackets in which our comprehension will take place. Then we will assign each key to a value with the help of a colon. And now it looks just like a regular dictionary. But since we'd like to apply it on each of our items, we will repeat it for each set of keys and values in our zipped lists of names and professions. Now, if you find this syntax slightly complicated, I highly recommend to start from my lists comprehension tutorial. It will give you all the background you need to continue with this one. Now, in the case of the range approach, we will assign each name in the index of I to each profession in the index of I. And we will do this for I in range 3, or the range of the total length of the list of names, or the list of professions in our case, because they have the exact same length. Now, my question to you is, which of these two approaches you think is faster and why? Please comment it below right now before you do any research. I want to see what your intuition tells you. And believe it or not, but we can do the same with tuples, simply by replacing the square brackets with round ones, and voila. In addition, if we really insist, this will also work for pandas data frames. We'll just focus on the very first column at index 0. But actually, the main data structure the dictionary comprehension is meant to serve is in fact dictionaries. So in the next exercise, let's use it to modify a dictionary in place. Now we have this dictionary of distorted superhero names, and it's truly embarrassing. We'll need to fix it. And the way to do so is to concatenate the string of man to the end of each of our keys in such a way that spider becomes Spider-Man and so on. So let's go ahead and do this together. And you can of course copy my code from the description of the video, or if you don't feel like typing along at all, you can always clone the complete version of my tutorials directly from Wayscript, which is my IDE, the coding interface that allows us to quickly and easily share our scripts with one another. Beautiful. Now let's go ahead and fix those annoying keys with the help of a dictionary comprehension. So we will open a set of curly brackets in which our comprehension will take place. Then we will replace each of our keys with key plus man. And since this is the only change we'd like to perform, we will simply assign it to val, and we will do this for all pairs of keys and values in my dictionary. But that's not all. We will also need to call the items method on our dictionary. Otherwise, we won't be fetching both keys and values, but we will only be fetching the keys. I'll show you what I mean shortly, but in the meanwhile, let's go ahead and reassign this expression back to my dictionary, and let's print it below, of course. Let's save it, let's run it, and let's have a quick look in the terminal. And beautiful! We have fixed all our keys, and now Wonder Woo is officially Wonder Woman. Great. But let's quickly see what happens if we don't call the items method. Do you think it will still work? Let's check. Let's delete it. Let's ask the terminal if it worked. And no. The terminal shows us a value error, too many values to unpack, which means that we are no longer dealing with a tuple, but we are dealing with a single value. So let's verify that it's the key. Okay, so let's delete this value iteration variable, and we will replace it with, well, I guess with none, the absence of data. Let's save it, and just for the sake of the demonstration, let's have a look. And yep, we can verify that we are still fetching the keys of the original dictionary. However, without the items method, we have no access to the values. But how can we add conditional statements to the mix? Well, first of all, please make sure you revert your code back to include the items method, because we've just established it's very important. Next, let's say that Spider-Man is not exactly welcome in this DC dictionary, so let's replace him with Superman. Now, since we'd like to apply our condition on our key iteration variable, we will begin by wrapping it in a set of brackets. Then, we will only concatenate the string of man to each of our keys only if the key doesn't equal to spider. Otherwise, we will need an else clause of Superman. Now, this is pretty straightforward, and just for the sake of the demonstration, I'm going to split my comprehension into several lines of code. I want you guys to be able to view everything on the same screen. Might be a bit more convenient. Now, it's probably not the prettiest syntax you've seen, but it's clear. That's all that matters at this point of time. So let's save everything. Let's run it. Let's have a look in the terminal, where we have clearly replaced Spider-Man with Superman. Beautiful. But the only problem is, Superman is not a photographer. He's actually a journalist. So let's tackle it as well. Let's dispose of this terminal and let's add a condition to our value iteration variable. So just like before, we will first wrap it in a set of brackets, and then we will only keep the original value if this value doesn't equal to photographer. Awesome. Otherwise, we will need an else clause of journalist. Okay, let's save everything. Let's give it a run. Let's look. And beautiful! Superman is indeed a journalist in his profession. Now, I don't know if this particular example is very useful. It requires a great level of customization. We need to be extremely familiar with the original dictionary in order for this to work. So let's look at another, much more useful example in the realm of genetics. So let's start with a super quick introduction. We have four kinds of nucleobases in our DNA sequence. Adenine, or A, cytosine, or C, guanine, or G, and lastly, thymine, or T. So without getting into too many details, A can only be paired with T, while C can only be paired with G, where this pairing occurs between one DNA strand to another, forming this beautiful double helix shape associated with DNA. So, in the next exercise, we will try to mimic this pairing in code. So first, let's create a list of bases. And we will assign it to A, T, C, and of course, G. And then we will use this list to generate our very first DNA strand. Now, since we'd like to introduce a very large degree of randomness, as you may guess, we will import the random module. Then we will use the random.choices method to generate strand 1. Now, since we'd like to restrict this strand only to values which we can find in our list of bases, our very first argument of choices would be bases. Then, for example, if we'd like our strand to be 10 items long, we will also specify k equals 10. Cool. Now let's assign this expression to strand 1, and let's print it below, of course. And once we do so, we get a list of 10 different items, and once we rerun our code, we get a completely different list time and again, which is as random as it gets. Now, our goal here is to implement the following for loop with dictionary comprehension. Now, this for loop will result in the following dictionary, where each of the keys represents an index, or a numeric sequence, and each of the values represents a pair of bases, where the first item is taken out of strand 1, and the second item is being automatically generated based upon it. So let's assemble this type of dictionary step by step, starting from the sequential keys. Now first, we will enlarge the text back to normal, and we will open a set of curly brackets, where we would like to assign each key to an empty list, at least at first. We will then populate it with values as we go, and we will do this for all pairs of keys and values in enumerate strand 1, where the enumerate function helps us track both the items themselves and unpack them into val, as well as tracking their indices or their order in the list given by key. You'll see exactly what it does in just a second. So let's quickly assign it to DNA and let's print it right below, where you will see how enumerate works. Awesome. So all our keys are in a sequence starting from 0 up to 9. Now let's go ahead and take care of the items. So the very first item is very, very easy because we are already unpacking it into val, right? Because we have specified strand 1 in enumerate. This means that the very first item of this list will be val. Now the second item, since we'd like to do everything step by step, we will leave a placeholder of none, the absence of value in the meanwhile. Okay, let's save it, let's see if it worked, and we see that the very first dictionary key indeed stores the very first item of strand 1, and so on, and so on. Now, the only thing left to take care of is this annoying non-value, which we'll need to replace with a corresponding base. Now, since the value of strand 2 depends on the value of strand 1, we will, of course, need a conditional statement, where we will replace none with t if val equals equals a. Otherwise, we will need an else clause, where we will replace none with a if val equals equals t. It's pretty straightforward, guys. That's quite easy. So let's go ahead and quickly split our comprehension into several lines, just so we can see things a bit better. Just for convenience sake, you don't really need to do this on your end. Now, we already covered T and A and vice versa, so we are only left with C and G. That's why we will add another condition. It's an else if condition, but we cannot really include an else if keyword inside a dictionary comprehension. That's why we are using a special instance of the else keyword. Okay, so if none of these is the case, we would like to replace none with C if val equals equals G. Otherwise, if none of these conditions is applicable, we will replace none with G, which is the last letter left. Okay, let's save everything and hopefully it worked. Awesome, look at that. So let's quickly verify that everything looks as expected. So our very first value of strand 1 is A, and there you go, we can find it in the very first entry of our dictionary. Now the only base we can pair to A would be T, which is exactly what we get here. Next, we have a base of G, which is paired to a base of C. Awesome! And it looks like everything worked just as expected. So congratulations, folks! We have just figured out how to randomly create DNA sequences. Amazing. Now, we can of course play with a k value, and we can assign it to hundreds upon thousands upon millions upon trillions of values. And even though this will probably result in one heck of an ugly creature, at least we can see the true purpose of dictionary comprehension. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but we have just created a complex data structure without too much effort. it's a dictionary of lists. So in the next exercise, we will focus on a list of dictionaries instead. This time, we have a list of dictionary keys and we have a list of users. Now let's go ahead and assemble them into a list of dictionaries. Now, unlike the previous example, the parent data structure here is a list. That's why we begin with a set of square brackets, in which we will nest a dictionary comprehension. Now, since we have two users, we would like to create a special dictionary for each. That's why we will repeat this empty dictionary comprehension for I in range 2. Or, actually, let's make it even better, the range of the length of our list of users. And that way, even if we add new users, if we remove old ones, it doesn't really affect our code. Everything is still rainbows and butterflies. Awesome. Now let's go ahead and assign this expression to data and let's print it below. And we get two empty dictionaries inside a list. Awesome. Now let's fill them with data. Now, as per tradition, we will begin with the keys. So inside our previously empty dictionary comprehension, we will type key, which we will assign to none, the absence of data, at least at first. And we will do this for key in keys. That's it. Beautiful. Let's save it. And yep, we just took care of all our dictionary keys. Now let's assign some values to them. And since we have a bunch of those keys, we will probably need a conditional statement to take care of the rest. So let's close this terminal and let's replace none with I if key equals equals ID. Otherwise, if it's not the case, we will need an else clause where we would like to replace none with users in the index of I, and then of course if key equals equals username. And then lastly, we will need a one final else clause where we will tackle the password scenario. Now, since we don't have a password just yet, we will first assign it to none and we'll do this next. Cool, let's save everything. And this time I'm not splitting it into lines, it's just so ugly. I don't want to do this again. And beautiful, there you go. We have just filled in our IDs and usernames. Now, since we've used such a large degree of randomness in the previous exercise, we might as well do the same for our password. For this, we will import random and we will also import string. Now, usually, a good password consists of uppercase characters, lowercase characters, digits, as well as punctuation symbols. And all of them are given to us by string.printable. Now, what do I mean? Let's quickly have a look. Let's save it. Let's run it. Let's scroll up. And there you go. That's the string I was talking about. So it's a string of digits, it's a string of characters, and a string of punctuation symbols. Perfect. And now we can use it to generate a random password. So let's close this terminal and let's use my favorite random.choices method once again. But this time we will call it on string.printable. And since a good password is usually quite long, we will set the k value to 8, which is not only my favorite number, but it's also quite common. And let's assign this expression altogether to password, of course, printed below. We'll comment out our previous print statement just so it doesn't confuse us. And here's our password. So cool, we are fetching some random characters, but the only problem is we are storing them in a list, while a password is definitely more of a string. So let's convert this list to a string by using a join method. So in front of random choices, we will add an empty string followed by a dot join method, which will wrap our entire random choices method. Beautiful. Now, if we rerun our code, our random password is officially a string. And if we keep rerunning our code, we will get a new password time and again. Perfect. So the only thing left to do is to copy this command, which we assign to password. Very important, not the password variable itself. Actually, let's cut it, because we want to generate it time and again. We don't just want to generate it once. Let's make everything nice and neat. And we will then replace our last non-placeholder with the command we just copied. Lastly, we will uncomment our previous print statement and we will make sure we are printing our data. Let's save it, let's run it. And beautiful! Now we have added some random generated passwords to the mix. Awesome! Our list of dictionaries is officially complete. And I almost forgot to show you the coolest part. If now we are adding a bunch of new users, let's say Spongy, Bobo, and let's say I am Batman, of course. Okay, let's save it, let's run it. And it's the only change we've made in this code. Let's have a look at the results. We have just added two brand new users simply by specifying their username. Their ID, as well as their password, were automatically generated with the help of our script. So congratulations, folks! Now we know how to create two extremely complex data structures without much effort. Now, please keep in mind, while list and dictionary comprehension may save you lots of time coding, they can also easily become extremely convoluted. If you're working by yourself, it's probably not a big deal. But when you're working as a team, readability might be a bit more important than coding speed or fancy-looking commands. So, it's up to you to determine which concept trumps the other. Now, thank you guys so much for watching. I really hope you enjoyed this tutorial, and if you did, please share it with the world, and don't forget to give it a huge thumbs up. Now, if you have any questions or anything to say, you can always leave me a comment below. I read your comments all the time, and very often I reply to them. Now, if you'd like to chat with myself and talented developers from all around the world, you can always join our Discord community. I'm including the link in the description, so definitely check it out. And lastly, if you'd like to see more content of this type, you can always subscribe to my channel and turn on the notification bell. I'll see you very soon in a brand new awesome tutorial. So yeah, in the meanwhile, bye-bye!